Stage 8. Mental Pliancy and Pacifying the Senses. 8. The goal of Stage 8 is simple pacification of the senses and the full arising of meditative joy. Simply continue to practice, using skills that are now completely effortless. Effortlessly sustained exclusive attention will produce mental and physical pliancy, pleasure, and joy. Practice goals for Stage 8. You begin Stage 8 as an adept practitioner. You can consistently pacify the discriminating mind and enter a state of mental pliancy. In other words, you have effortlessly stable attention and powerful mindfulness. Each sit, it can take a while to reach effortlessness, and sometimes you'll stay at Stage 6 or 7 the whole time. But you should be able to reach mental pliancy fairly regularly and remain there for the rest of the sit. Much of the practice at this stage simply involves exercising your newly compliant mind's abilities to explore. You have two goals for this stage. As an adept meditator, with a highly compliant mind due to a complete pacification in Stage 7, your first goal is to exercise this mind, explore its nature, and discover and develop its inherent abilities. Think of your mind as an unknown territory where no one else has been and no one but you can go. A spiritual teacher can point you in certain directions, make suggestions based on his or her own experience, and offer valuable methods developed by other meditators in the past. After all, one human mind isn't so different from another, but it's your own needs and interests that will determine how you actually proceed. Follow wherever they take you. I promise you will go places and do things with your mind that are pointless to describe or discuss with anyone who hasn't made this journey on his or her own. The second major goal is complete pacification of the senses, which produces physical pliancy and fully developed meditative joy. Since both pacification of the senses and meditative joy result from the same unification process, we treat them as two parts of a single goal. To pacify the senses, you will exclude all sense objects from attention while sustaining metacognitive awareness. To cultivate meditative joy, you don't need to do anything different or special. Just keep practicing. It will arise naturally once the sensory minds grow quiet and the mind as a whole becomes sufficiently unified. You've mastered Stage 8 when your eyes perceive only an inner light, your ears perceive only an inner sound, your body is suffused with pleasure and comfort, and your mental state is one of intense joy. Exercising the newly compliant mind. Your first goal is to exercise the skills you've already mastered in order to explore the nature of the mind and fully develop its inherent abilities. Mental pliancy gives you effortlessly stable attention and sustained, powerful mindfulness, particularly in the form of metacognitive introspective awareness. The practices in the next section will help you experiment with attention. Those in the following section will enhance your metacognitive awareness. When to do which practices? You've probably already experienced some unusual sensory events, bodily movements, energy currents, or even joy corresponding to the various grades of piti. Expect these to intensify through Stage 8, until you achieve pacification of the senses and meditative joy. During the first part of this stage, when you're experiencing grades 1 through 3 piti, do the practices described in this section, exercising the newly compliant mind. Toward the end of Stage 8, when grade 4 piti starts to dominate, switch to the practices in the section Pacification of the Senses and Meditative Joy. Practices for experimenting with attention. The effortlessness of mental pliancy comes with a distinct feeling of power and control over the mind. The power and control are real, even if the sense of a self who's in control is only an illusion. You may not yet realize the full extent of your abilities. You can focus your attention wherever you want, with whatever size scope you want, and for as long or as briefly as you choose. While sustained exclusive attention played a crucial role in developing your concentration and will continue to be useful to you as an adept, it's no longer a requirement. You can now freely shift your focus of attention from one mental or sensory object to another, as quickly or slowly as you like, and as often as you like, without losing stability. You'll soon discover you no longer need a specific focus of attention at all. Attention can rest in a state of openness, as you simply allow objects to arise and pass away without being captured by any of them. Here are two structured practices for you to try. These are particularly useful for the early part of Stage 8, where you're exploring and developing the capabilities of your mind. However, they'll remain useful long after you've moved beyond this stage. Momentary concentration. This practice involves momentarily shifting your focus of attention to various objects in peripheral awareness. Even though awareness is relatively free of mental objects like thoughts and images, sensations are still prominent. These include both ordinary and mind-generated sensations, energy movements, and actual bodily movements. You're also introspectively aware of feelings of pleasure or displeasure, desire or aversion, patience or impatience, curiosity, and so forth. Any of these can become a momentary object of concentration. Your attention is now so stable you can quickly and easily shift your focus from one object to another, maintaining exclusive focus with each. Start by choosing a sensation in peripheral awareness. Any distinct sensation will do. Shift your attention to it, making it the exclusive focus of attention for a moment. Let the breath sensation slip into peripheral awareness or disappear entirely. When the sensory object passes away, attention will automatically return to the breath. Then select another sensation for momentary attention. At first, only practice momentary attention with physical sensations or the mind-generated sensations that arise due to pacification. Once you're confident you can do this without losing exclusive attention or metacognitive awareness, try switching to mental objects like affective reactions and emotions, such as pleasure from hearing birds outside the window or annoyance at an itch. You can even allow individual thoughts or memories to arise, holding them briefly as your object of attention while introspectively observing the mind's reactions to them. Another way to practice momentary concentration is by exploring objects using alternating attention while keeping your primary focus on the breath. Of course, alternating attention is also a form of momentary attention, one where the movements of attention are very fast. It's always been functionally important for the untrained mind in everyday experience. Now, with mental pliancy, alternating attention also becomes a useful tool in meditation. Start by forming the intention for attention to include something you've selected from peripheral awareness. You'll immediately have the familiar experience of attention alternating between the breath and the other object you've chosen. Let your attention keep alternating between the breath and various objects appearing in peripheral awareness, but make sure the primary object is always the breath. Earlier, we would have called these objects subtle distractions because your attention alternated to them spontaneously. Now, however, these movements of attention are fully intentional and effortlessly controlled. Next, experiment with redistributing your alternating attention, increasing the ratio between moments of attention to the other object and to the breath. In other words, the breath will shift from being the primary object, moving into the background, while the chosen object comes to occupy the main focus of attention. This is exactly the same experience we called gross distraction when it happened involuntarily, but it's now entirely intentional. Explore how attention alternates and the type of information this provides. Then consider ways you can use this to learn more about yourself and how your mind works. Meditating on arising and passing away. In this practice, you closely investigate the arising and passing away of various phenomena with attention. While practicing momentary concentration, you probably already noticed how particular sensations or affective reactions arise, then quickly pass away, often to be immediately replaced by a new but closely related object. For example, if the object is an ongoing sound, you will find it actually consists of a series of separate sounds arising and passing away one after another. If it's a single brief noise, you'll notice that even after the actual sound is stopped, it continues to reverberate in the mind. If it's an emotion or mental state, you'll notice that it's actually made of a series of closely related but different mental states, arising and passing in waves. Other times, the new object will be something quite different, but you'll notice there's a causal relationship between it and the last object to pass away. For example, if someone sneezes, as the sound disappears, it may be immediately followed by an image of a person sneezing. When that image passes, it might be replaced by a thought about catching a cold. You can make any of these objects your focus of attention. Because of mental pliancy, whenever the causal sequence comes to an end, your attention will always return to the breath, instead of being captured by something new. It's as though attention were tied to the breath by an elastic band that always pulls it right back. You may have noticed before how phenomena arise and pass away, but the swiftness of your mind and the clarity of your perception now exceed anything you've experienced before. The power and control you have while doing this are very satisfying and quickly take on the qualities of flow, much like what you experienced with the whole body jhanas in stage 6. Although jhana-like, this flow state is not jhana. The main differences are that you have complete intentional control in every moment, which you don't have in jhana, and the objects of attention are constantly changing. It's not unusual to experience grades 3 and 4 piti while doing this practice. Don't get attached to these experiences. Just keep practicing as before, allowing pacification and joy to develop naturally on their own. Exercising the compliant mind and complete pacification of the senses. When pacifying the senses, you're supposed to ignore sensations vying for attention. However, in the practices for exercising the compliant mind, you often focus attention on both ordinary and mind-generated sensations. So, aren't these two practices working against each other? There really isn't any conflict. Even though you're focusing attention on sense objects that you would otherwise ignore, the nature of the object of attention isn't important. What really matters is that there's a consensus of many sub-minds to attend to that one thing and ignore everything else. The same principle applies to the practices of momentary attention and choiceless attention, where attention is no longer exclusively focused on a single object. Even though attention is moving, the objects of attention are determined by a strong consensus of unified sub-minds to the exclusion of anything else, so the result is effectively the same as exclusive attention. If the consensus is strong enough and involves enough sub-minds to produce the effortlessness of mental pliancy, then unification and pacification will continue. If not, the consensus won't be strong enough to stop attention from moving spontaneously to other sensations, and pacification will stall. Therefore, resist the temptation to engage in these practices before you're ready. Practices to enhance metacognitive awareness. Reflect for a moment on the duality between consciousness and the object of consciousness, between the act of knowing and what's known, between the cognizing and the cognized. Attention emphasizes the latter half of this duality, that is, the object of consciousness. Specifically, attention itself creates this polarization of knower and known, then focuses on the known. In the next practices, the emphasis shifts away from the object toward the act of knowing. This means a shift away from attention toward greater metacognitive awareness. Where this ultimately leads, though not immediately, is to a direct experience of the illuminating function of consciousness, the discerning cognition that gives rise to the experience of a known object. From now on, no matter how you use attention, hold the intention for peripheral awareness to become more and more metacognitive, working toward a complete and continuous observation of the activities and state of the mind itself. You don't exclude extrospective content from peripheral awareness or attention. Rather, to whatever extent extrospective sensations are present, they're experienced as part of the activity occurring in the mind, rather than as objects in and of themselves. For example, in the hearing of a sound, the primary object of your observation isn't the sound that's being heard, but the mental act of hearing. This is also true for mental objects. Remain metacognitively aware of them as content of field of conscious awareness, but with the objects themselves being secondary. It's as much about how you know as it is what you know. The next two practices will help you develop and strengthen metacognitive awareness. They can be used for many other purposes in the future as well. Choiceless attention. Recall that some objects arrive in awareness with the intention that they will also become objects of attention. The practice of choiceless attention involves allowing attention to move freely in pursuit of the objects that arrive, with the strongest intention to become objects of attention. In terms of the mind system model, choiceless attention is not truly choiceless. Rather, a powerful consensus of unified subminds has chosen to allow such objects to become the focus of attention. Monitoring this free movement of attention with metacognitive introspective awareness is an effective exercise for making this awareness more powerful. This practice is similar to momentary concentration, except that now you're allowing objects of attention to self-select. Subjectively, you experience attention freely and spontaneously striking or falling on certain objects, one after the other, as they arrive in the field of conscious awareness. This is just like the spontaneous movements of attention in an untrained mind, except now attention never becomes so engrossed as to be captured. Each brief period of intense focus is followed by attention quickly moving to something else. Furthermore, since the discriminating mind is pacified and there's mental pliancy, mental objects don't predominate as they normally would. Most important, however, is the strong, continuous, metacognitive quality of awareness present as the objects of attention constantly change. This makes the whole experience into one of observing the mind itself as an ongoing process, rather than merely experiencing the contents of attention as they arise and pass away. Of course, this exercise relates directly to the practice of mindfulness in daily life, where attention also moves freely. Now it will be easier throughout the day to maintain a mindfulness that takes the form of knowing the bigger picture of what the mind is doing and why. As with the meditation on arising and passing away, you may find yourself entering a flow state, accompanied by grades 3 and 4 PT, consisting of incomplete pacification of the senses. This shows that the mind is continuing to unify as you engage in these practices. Meditation on dependent arising. As metacognitive awareness grows stronger, the causal relationships between various sensory and mental events become clearer. This happens because one of the basic functions of peripheral awareness is to perceive the relationships of objects to each other and to the whole. In this meditation, you follow mental events as they occur in sequence. Specifically, consciousness of a sensation or thought, contact, is followed by an affective response, feeling, leading to desire or aversion, craving, then to the arising of an intention to act, becoming, and finally, to the action itself, birth. This is also called following the links of dependent arising, the causal relationship between mental processes described in traditional Buddhist literature. By intentionally tracking these causal links with attention, meditation on dependent arising makes metacognitive awareness more powerful and provides insight into how mental processes unfold. Let's say your ears are producing a buzzing sound. You can direct your attention toward that auditory sensation and observe the associated feeling of displeasure that arises. Then you notice that a desire for the sound to go away arises in response to the unpleasantness. But because you're sitting in meditation, the only option for escape is to direct attention elsewhere. So you observe that an intention to redirect arises. Regardless of whether you act on that intention or not, a new contact event will follow. If attention doesn't move, this whole sequence will repeat, cycling through contact, feeling, craving, intention, and action as part of the ongoing experience of the sound. This will continue until contact of a different sort spontaneously intervenes or attention finally does move. For a more complex example involving thought, let's say your attention falls on the sensation of an energy movement in the body. It's accompanied by a feeling of unpleasantness, which becomes the next object of attention. This is followed immediately by a sense of aversion toward which attention now turns. Aversion triggers an unconscious thought, produced by one of the discriminating sub-minds, which then appears in peripheral awareness with a strong intention to become an object of attention. Attention notes this intention. The action that ensues is a shift of attention to the thought. Now the cycle repeats, this time with the thought as the initial object of attention. It may be a thought about the inner winds, or prana, and because this is an interesting topic, you observe how the thoughts elicit a positive feeling of pleasure. Following this, you may detect the desire to allow this train of thought to continue. This whole process crystallizes into an intention to continue pursuing the next associated thought, and so on. With practice, you can follow this unfolding elaboration of thought without losing your metacognitive perspective. You can just sit back and allow the next thought to appear, following its own sequence of dependent arising. Whether you're investigating thoughts or sensations, analysis is not the point. The content of the thoughts and sensations is mostly unimportant. You're just aware of how they arise and pass away in dependence on each other, and how they're linked together by feelings, cravings, intentions, and actions. As with choiceless attention, this meditation practice strongly exercises metacognitive awareness. Here, however, there is a more specific goal: to acquire an intuitive understanding of the causal processes that drive our ongoing mental activities and which lead us to act and react as we do. If we bring our understanding of how these chains of association work into daily life, we're less likely to react out of aversion or craving, and more likely to act from a place of wisdom. The meditation on dependent arising can have a powerful transformative effect, especially when combined with the practice of mindful review. Unifying the mind, pacifying the senses, and the arising of meditative joy. The second major goal of this stage is the complete pacification of the senses, accompanied by the full arising of meditative joy. Both pacification and joy are different aspects of the same unification process. Pacification and joy are what we experience subjectively, whereas unification describes what happens at the unconscious level. Unification of mind really refers to unification of unconscious sub-minds, and there are degrees of unification, depending on the extent of their cooperation. The degree of unification determines how much pacification and joy we experience consciously. Because there is very little unification in the ordinary mind, attention shifts and vacillates, divided in its purposes. Exclusive attention requires more unification, but only of the unconscious sub-minds currently interacting via consciousness, typically just a very small part of the unconscious mind. Pacification of the discriminating mind develops as more and more sub-minds of the discriminating mind grow unified around the intention to maintain exclusive attention. When there was enough unification, you experienced the effortlessly stable attention of mental pliancy. Complete pacification of the senses happens the same way. When unconscious sensory subminds become unified around the conscious intention to attend exclusively to the chosen object, they refrain from doing anything that disrupts exclusive attention. With enough unification of the sensory subminds, normal sensory information is no longer projected into consciousness. And when there's enough unification for complete sensory pacification, the mental state of meditative joy begins to arise as well. As discussed in the sixth interlude, you'll encounter various unusual sensations as part of pacification of the senses before achieving physical pliancy. You will also experience energy currents, involuntary movements, and other unusual autonomic effects before the full development of meditative joy. All these sensory events and movements happen at the same time and intermingle. For sake of clarity, however, we first describe what accompanies pacifying the senses, and then we discuss what accompanies meditative joy. Pacifying the senses. Complete pacification of the senses means normal sensory information no longer gets projected into consciousness because the sensory sub-minds have grown temporarily quiescent. Just as complete pacification of the discriminating mind results in mental pliancy, full pacification of the senses results in physical pliancy. With physical pliancy, you can sit comfortably for long periods without discomfort or any sensory distractions. Physical pliancy is accompanied by the bliss of physical pliancy, a wonderfully pleasant sensation pervading the entire body. Even with pacification, the sense organs keep functioning normally. The ear still registers sounds, for example. That sound is also processed by the auditory sub-mind, but it's not projected into consciousness. Any sensation that the unconscious sub-minds identify as unimportant, such as another meditator coughing, a door closing, or a dog barking, doesn't enter consciousness. The same is true for all the other senses. Sensory information still registers in the respective sensory sub-minds, but it's processed only to the point of simple recognition. All this sensory information is still available if and when we want it, but it doesn't appear in consciousness until we intentionally call it up. Although ordinary sensations disappear from awareness, some purely mind-generated sensations persist, including an inner illumination, unusual bodily perceptions, and internal sounds. However, exceptionally strong, unusual, or especially significant sensory inputs are still projected into consciousness. Yet with pacification, they enter consciousness in a way that doesn't disturb our meditation, unless their presence elicits a conscious, intentional response. For example, the ringing of a telephone may enter consciousness, but the mind system as a whole can choose to respond or not. If a fly lands on your face, you can know it's there without any annoyance or concern. And when you recognize the sound of the bell signaling the end of your meditation, the focus on the meditation object dissolves because of a pre-existing intention to respond this way. Sensory pacification happens for two reasons. First, when you exercise exclusive attention, you completely ignore sensations that arise in peripheral awareness. This deprives them of the attentional energy needed to sustain them, so they fade away. Second, when you cultivate metacognitive introspective awareness, you do so at the expense of ordinary extrospective awareness. That is, by turning awareness inward, you deny awareness to normal external sensory input. The combination of these two activities eventually causes the sensory minds to stop projecting ordinary sensations into peripheral awareness altogether. Therefore, all you have to do is keep exercising exclusive attention and cultivating metacognitive awareness, using the practices for exercising the newly compliant mind until the senses are fully pacified. There is only one major obstacle that you must first overcome: unusual mind-generated sensations. Unusual sensations. Before they're unified enough, the sensory minds react strongly to being ignored. They start projecting lights, sounds, and all sorts of strange and sometimes unpleasant bodily sensations into consciousness that have nothing to do with anything happening externally. These mind-generated sensory phenomena tend to dominate this stage. They can be quite disturbing, as well as distracting, since they're so unusual. It's almost as if the sensory minds resist being ignored like stubborn children. Their whole purpose seems to be to capture your attention and arouse your interest. Interestingly, though, the more they do this, the less they project immediate, real-time sensory information into peripheral awareness. This shows that the process of pacification is actually underway. When these phenomena consistently take the form of grade 3 PT, it means you've reached the final phase of pacifying the senses, and the time has come to ignore them completely. The early part of Stage 8 provided plenty of opportunity to explore these phenomena and observe your mind's reaction to them using the practices described in the previous section. This didn't interfere with the ongoing pacification process and hopefully satisfied your curiosity, making it easier to ignore them now and achieve complete pacification. Once pacification is complete, you'll experience Grade 4 PT. Mind-generated sound and light may continue, but ordinary sensations completely disappear, and the chills, hot flashes, pressure, itching, pinpricks, tingling, and so forth are replaced by the bliss of physical pliancy.